Welcome to the Steve's Dying Guitar Podcast, brought to you by GuitarZoom.com. If you want to improve your guitar playing, keep listening. If you want to improve even faster, go to GuitarZoom.com, where you'll find all of Steve's premium courses, masterclasses, and memberships that'll help you quickly and easily improve your playing. Now, here's your host, Steve Stein.
To play my favorite. But I have to end it with that so we
just
don't get struck on we don't get struck down on YouTube.
Yeah, that's like the way it goes. I love that. Copyright stuff. Anyway. Hey guys, thank you for being here. My name's Dan Denley, founder of GuitarZoom.com. This is my good friend and colleague, Steve Stein. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Denley. Is that what this is? Thank you, everybody, for showing up and listening to us talk about guitar.
It is like, I literally walked in here and I was like, wow, we're going to do a, you know, like a video for people about guitar and blues. And I don't know, it just got me thinking. I grew up in Mississippi, for anybody that cares. So blues is really, really dear to my heart. My mother to this day lives in a little town in Mississippi, just, not that far from where Elvis Presley was born, but she lives in a town that's actually on the blues trail. So people who are really interested in blues guitar and stuff, there's actually a trail that you can get on and, you know, make a journey throughout the South and go to all these places where Mississippi John Hurt was and Robert Johnson, all these old guys. It's a pretty cool place. So this is a subject that's really near and dear to my heart. And guys, I want to thank you for being here. It's really awesome that you would show up for us. And we're doing a live session for you today, Steve and I. This is the Blues Guitar Workshop Series. If you want to learn how to play blues guitar, keep on watching, keep on listening. If you want to learn it even faster, you can check out Steve's new blues guitar course. It's cleverly titled Blues Guitar by Steve Stein. It's available at GuitarZoom.com. Steve,
yes.
Thank you for being here, sir.
You are most welcome.
It's always a highlight of my day to be doing one of these sessions for you. And I'm not just saying that. I am serious. I love doing these.
It is fun. And it's always fun to be able to get together and talk about guitar and playing. And hopefully somebody out there looks at it and goes, wow, that's very useful.
I'm pretty sure they do. The last time I checked, one of your videos had, I think, approaching 9 million views. And I was like, and there were like, I don't know, 25,000 thumbs up comments and like 19 thumbs down. I don't know who those 19 people are, but whatever. 25,000 thumbs up. That's pretty cool.
People that they don't like short people. It happens.
Very discriminatory. They don't like long hair types with tattoos.
Yep.
Oh, enough banter. Guys, as you're filtering in here, if you if someone could take 2 seconds and put Blues Guitar by Steve Stein at GuitarZoom.com in the comments or chat or wherever you happen to be watching this. So as people come in, if they're interested in what we're talking about here and they want to get the course, that would be cool. That would be super cool. If you'd like to be notified of when we do these live sessions, just click the subscribe button and click notify, and then you get a little alert or notification or something that lets you know when we're going to go live. Steve tries to make announcements. Hey, we're going live today. So that's super cool. And if you've missed any of the Blues Guitar Workshop series, don't worry. It's okay. We're going to put all of these recordings for you. All of these live sessions will be recorded for you and then put on the GuitarZoom YouTube channel under the playlists. So you can just click on playlists, look for Blues Guitar Workshop, and it'll be there. Also, there's some other workshop series there. We've done Blues Licks. We did acoustic guitar. We're going to be doing rock licks. This one right now is blues, the generic blues guitar one. Man, what else have we done? Seems like we've done a lot of it. Oh, we did creative soloing. Creative soloing is on there. So anyway, guys, all of that's available for you on the GuitarZoom channel and under the playlist. Today, we're talking about Blues Guitar Workshop, and everything that we're talking about comes from Steve's new course, Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, available at Guitar Zoom. All right, big guy, take it away, man.
Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today, I get a lot of questions about what the blues scale is. What is the blues scale? And it's really not that difficult to discuss, but in order to know the blues scale, the first thing you have to do is you have to know the pentatonic scale. So again, today we're going to be talking about the minor side of things. And then in one of the next sessions, I'm going to be talking about major and minor and explain the difference of that too. But the minor pentatonic scale is a scale. Let's say you want to be in the key of A. What you would do is you would go to the fifth fret of the sixth string, which is A. Of course, you have to know the notes on your sixth string. But you'd go up there and you would play this scale. Now, penta meaning five, we're playing five notes to the octave. So I'm playing A, C, D, E, G. And then I play A, C, D, E, G. And then I play A, C, and I run out of strings, okay? Now I could move up and different things like that. There's other positions you can learn and things like that. But that's what the minor pentatonic would be, is playing the notes A, C, D, E, and G. So if you've never done this before, just really quick, I'm playing 5, 8, 5, 7, 5, 7, 5, 7, 5, 8, 5, 8. And that scale is movable anywhere you want to go. So if you want to be in the key of G, you move it to G, and you play the exact same shape, which is 1-4, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-4, 1-4, referring to my fingers, right? You can go anywhere you want. That's the beauty of the guitars. You can move it in any key you want, okay? The blues scale is really just the minor pentatonic scale, but we're adding in one new note, which is referred to as the blue note or the blues note. And if you know anything about your theory, what you're adding in is what is called the flatted five, okay? If you don't know your theory, don't worry about it. Here's what happens. Is when I start playing my pentatonic, I play the first three notes, and the next note is going to be my middle finger right here. So it exists between the first and third fingers there. It's sitting right there. So you're getting this, what we refer to as chromatic sound, which is you're playing all the notes in a row there. And it gives it a bit more of a blues flavor. Now that blue note, okay, is a great note to utilize in passing when you're using other notes. It's not a really great note to try and emphasize. Like if your rhythm player is playing A and you go to that note, it's going to sound like a Slayer song. Okay? Unless you're looking for that. If you're looking for that, then there's nothing wrong with that. But nice. In the blues context, it's really a note that causes this dissonance, this aggressive sound briefly, but then is resolved by going to something else of the minor pentatonic. So you can play it in conjunction with the notes around it, for instance, 5, 6, 7. Notice I'm just going to the A because I'm in the key of A here. Or if I went toward the ceiling, if I went like this, okay, I could just play it in conjunction with the notes around it. What I like to do with it is sometimes I'll play it as like this. I'll play it as a hammer-on pull-off from the note in front of it. And it sounds kind of cool. Or I might start on it and go to the note after it. So you see, there's lots of ways that you can manipulate that note to make it sound really cool in your playing. You know, I remember learning this a long time ago. And the only thing I really knew how to do with it was play it. You know, that's all I could do. And I remember learning somewhere along the line, you know, stuff like that. Now, that same note, which if we look at the actual note, what we're playing there is E flat or D sharp, right? That's the name of the note. So there are E flats all over the guitar here. But if we went to the next octave of this minor pentatonic, it exists right here as well. Okay, those notes are octaves of each other. Okay, so now, again, the way I learned this, because I didn't know anything about my theory, I just learned if I played minor pentatonic and I went up three notes from the root, 1, 2, 3, boom, that's where it was. So, for instance, that's A. If I was on this note, 7th fret of the 4th string, that's also A. So if I go up three notes pentatonically, 1, 2, 3, boom, there it is. it's going to look different because my, you know, I'm starting on my third finger here where I was starting on my first finger here. But if you listen with your ears, it's the same note. So now that note was sitting over here with my pinky. So what I could do again is play it in conjunction with the pentatonic, and it sounds pretty cool. But what I really love to do with it, and you'll hear me do this a lot in my playing, is I use it as a slide. So I'll slide from the note right in front of it up to it and back. Or I might just slide back like that. So I change up my phrasing though. So the fingering, the, you know, the order of the fingers that you're using makes a difference all across the guitar. And the more you start playing, the more you're going to realize that. So when you're in, like right here, I'm on my third finger. So the only way I can get to that blues note in this position is with my pinky or to slide. Where here, it's sandwiched in between these two notes. So the way I use it is different in both of those positions because the fingers that I'm using are different. You know, that's one of the big things for me is sometimes I don't try and universally try and do the exact same thing just in different octaves because I can. It's learning that the natural position of what my hand is doing at that point can actually make it sound different than maybe another position that I'd be playing in or something.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know, what's really interesting is the, just adding that one note completely changes everything.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun of it is if you watch the last video that Dan and I did, you know, it isn't always your intellect. It isn't just the knowledge that you have of guitar, but it's applying that knowledge to the guitar. And the trick is if you start with pentatonic and you learn to properly phrase with pentatonic and you can make the pentatonic scale sound musical, then if you just add something very small into that to expand your vocabulary, like this blue note or this blues note, it sounds really cool. And again, you're not giving up anything that you were doing before. You've already established the ability of being able to play musically, you know, phrase, all that sort of thing with pentatonic, but now you've added in this new note. What I always remind people is as you add in new notes, always remember to subtract them as well. Because what's really cool is when you add something new, like if I was going to play something pentatonic, and then I come back and I add that blues note in, it's going to change the sound or the color of the phrasing that I'm doing this time around. So just because I know a new note, and there's all kinds of new notes that you can learn to add into your scales, doesn't mean you should use them all the time. Because after a while, it just becomes all these notes. And again, if you listen to the last session that Dan and I did, if you just play everything all the time, you're really not emphasizing anything, which means nothing is standing out as being important. So the trick with that blues note is you don't all have to play it every single time you do something on the guitar, but start figuring out creative ways when you do want to use it, things that you like. Now what I'm doing is I'm just playing octaves. I'm looking at A in this case. I'm seeing the exact same thing in three different places, so I can play that phrasing that I like. Or any variation of that. Whatever I like, I can play it in multiple octaves, which is a fun little trick to learn as well. So,
very cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you're enjoying this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, go to guitarzoom.com and consider becoming a premium member. There are three memberships to choose from. VIP, which gives you instant access to a library of short but powerful courses, as well as new bite-sized lessons each month. There's also Play Songs that gives you step-by-step lessons so you can learn to play your favorite songs fast. And finally, there's Masterclass, university-level training on everything from soloing to music theory, from blues to home recording. For more info about these memberships and all the premium courses available to you, go to guitarzoom.com. Now back to the podcast.
This is awesome, Steve. Guys, if you're just joining us today, we're talking about the blues scale. Steve just went over that. And if you are just now joining us and maybe you're like, oh no, I missed it. Don't worry. Everything will be saved for you there in a nice, neat playlist on the Guitar Zoom channel. You can go back and watch all the Blues Guitar Workshop series we've done for you. They'll be all right there for you. You can watch them as much as you want. If you enjoy this series we've done for you, I think that you'll like Steve's new course. It's called Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, and it's available at GuitarZoom. It's a multi-level course, super deep into everything blues, different than the Blues Licks course that was new, and that was released just a couple of months ago, and people absolutely love it. That's all about Blues Licks, so hence the title, Blues Licks. This is Blues Guitar. So it's all things blues, blues rhythm, blues soloing, blues scales, how to put the whole thing together. It's called Blues Guitar. That's Steve's new course. It's available at guitarzoom.com. If someone could put that in the old comment box, chat box, that would be super cool. Also, guys, I want to thank you for being here, as always. And Steve, I was wondering, well, I don't want to derail your thought process here, but at some point I was wanting to know if you maybe could put on a backing track and show us maybe how to use this blues note in a blues solo.
Sure. Now this, again, the unique thing about minor pentatonic in general is that minor pentatonic works over major blues or minor blues. And what I mean by that are major chords, A major, D major, E major, or A minor, D minor, E minor. So there's two different kinds of blues that you usually come across, and it's one of those two. The minor pentatonic works over either one of those. That's why we tend to learn minor pentatonic first. And the blues note that we're adding to this works perfectly over that too. So let's just say I was doing, let me just grab something here. Again, you'll have to let me know if the volume is off. So this one says C, this is one in C minor, right? So I'm gonna head up to the eighth fret. So there's my minor pentatonic, and of course I'm gonna add my blue note. Right there, right? So here's the C minor one. See that blues note there? So I can use it anywhere. You can use it anywhere. Here's a key of A major. Right? So same idea. Play it up here. So you can use it anywhere over major or minor blues, right? It's just learning, again, this goes back to the first discussion we had where it really comes down to, you know, the tools, what you know about the situation, you know, what scale you know or what scale position you know or whatever, and then learning to get in there and start trying to react or interact, I should say, with the rhythm, which is another conversation we're going to have too, is talking about blues rhythms, but it's really important to be able to do those. So it's not just about the notes. It's about using the notes in a rhythm and groove sense as well. So.
There's a one question I noticed, Steve, is people sometimes are confused about this blue note and then like the seventh that you can add in. Some people are like, you know what I'm talking about? So you've got the pentatonic scale, you add your blues note, that flatted fifth, and then you can also add in that flatted seven.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about? Or is it a major seven?
It's already part of the scale, so.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's already existing in the scale.
Maybe it's the major seventh.
Well, then we'd be in jazz. And we'd be playing in jazz.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so you know, the thing, and again, we'll talk about dominant seventh and things when we talk about rhythm, which is another session that's coming up. But understand that what we've done is taken the minor pentatonic, we've added a new note in, right? But even with that new note, remember what we talked about in the first session, which is emphasis of pitch. So when you're playing a chord, when and it doesn't matter what style of music it is, if somebody plays a chord, your job then is to try and figure out if and when to emphasize something that correlates with that chord, right? So in blues, oftentimes we hear the sound of a seventh chord, like A7, we call it. Okay? And with this A7, the A is the first note that we start learning how to emphasize, which means I'm directing my movements toward it to try and give it more importance than some other notes. Well, if you think about the A7 chord, okay, the seventh is over here, it's the note G. Well, that note can sound really, really cool to try and emphasize over that chord. So now I would have two notes I could emphasize. I could emphasize the G, which is the seventh, or I could emphasize the A, which is the root. Okay? Now again, in opening up that can of worms, the problem becomes is people go, oh, okay, so I should emphasize the root and the third and the fifth and the seventh. And okay, but now if all you're doing is going, it doesn't sound like music anymore. It just sounds like an exercise. So I always try and caution people. The human brain goes, logic, I get it, and that's wonderful. But when you start moving too far that direction too fast, it doesn't sound like music anymore. It just sounds like an exercise. And so you could emphasize lots of things over all kinds of different situational, you know, jam tracks or, you know, rehearsals or whatever. There's all kinds of different things that you can do, but just be careful not to go too fast to where everything sounds like nothing again, if that makes sense.
Yes. I love that quote.
Because that's really the key is, you know, because I understand this because that's totally the way my brain thinks. So I go, okay, so if I can emphasize the seventh over the root, why can't I emphasize the seventh over the four chord? Well, I can emphasize the seventh over the four chord. Why can't I emphasize the root of the four chord over the four chord? Well, then all of a sudden, yeah, and all of that is true. All of that is true. But if you go too fast, you've forgotten about the music in the middle. And right. Now all of a sudden it's all just logic. And when you do just logic, nothing sounds, I shouldn't say nothing, but it begins to sound less musical. So the track that you put your brain on when you're trying to solo, it's really important to make sure you don't constantly derail yourself with information. Mm-hmm. The information is good, but too much information at once just winds up making a mess, just becomes very messy. It's like, again, I always use the soup or stew, you know, if you're making a stew and you put every ingredient that you have in there and you put every spice that you have in there, it just becomes chaotic, right? You might want to emphasize a certain kind of spice to make it taste a certain way and some other spices maybe to supplement that particular spice. But if you put everything in there every time, it's just going to be chaos. You know,
that's a great analogy.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I would always say is because we're educated the way we are in the school system and that sort of thing, we value information. And how do we get information? We read, right? And we study, but we don't always apply. Like we can study art. I've studied art in high school and in college, and I suck at art. I can't draw to save my life. I can understand concepts, but that doesn't make me an artist. You see, that doesn't give me the ability to draw. So we always have to be careful. Like what I was trying to remind people is if you get an idea and you're going, oh, I really need to learn how to gel with this idea. what I need to do is shut off the video and shut off the audio and shut off the phone and shut off Netflix. And I need to sit and figure out how to develop this idea, if it's worth my time. I might get in there and go, I don't really like this. Okay, well, that's cool. Now you know, right? But you got to give it a try. You got to figure out what you can do. So like with the blues note, you know, there's probably 783 ways I am not showing you how to use the blues note right now, right? And that's okay. I mean, there's lots of other ways you can do it, but you don't want your brain to go, well, I got to learn 785 ways because he showed me two. There's 783 more. Well, no, you just got to learn some way that works so you can maneuver around. Right? That's the trick to the guitar, is figuring out how to navigate around and create music as you go. You see, that's what I, and the blues note can propel me all over the fretboard. But today we're just talking about a couple of different ways, but.
Dude, you're so filled with knowledge.
Well, I've had my share of information that was not usable, and that doesn't mean it wasn't usable by somebody else. I've just gone down. What I've learned about teaching is that if you give someone too many options, it's very easy just to get lost in all of that. And so I always encourage somebody, please learn as much as you can until you take your last breath. But if you use it in a logical order, what winds up happening is you develop your own ability of playing. You develop your own self-awareness of your playing, and maybe even your own style. But if it's just information that you can talk about in a bar over a beer, that's fine. I mean, I meet people like that all the time in my journeys, but it isn't about that. It's about playing, right? Mm-hmm. It's about when your hands hit the fingers, what comes out. And that's what you continually try and work on. So,
yeah. Awesome and powerful stuff. Guys, we are talking about the blues scale today in this blues guitar workshop. And we're just about to wrap it up. If you missed this session, or you're joining late, or you didn't quite get all of it, don't worry. We will take this video. We're recording this for you, and it'll be put in a playlist on the old YouTube channel there for you, on Guitar Zoom YouTube channel. Like Steve mentioned, there's a lot of information out there, and the blues scale is one very small fragment of learning how to play blues.
Very important, though.
Super important. That one note can change the sound of all your solos, mm-hmm. which you just showed us, which is awesome. Guys, if you enjoyed this, you might want to check out Steve's new course. It's called Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, and it's available at guitarzoom.com. Also want to mention a couple other resources for you. We do have a podcast now, and it's basically available for you. The only place I know how to, I don't really know much about podcasts, but it's available on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a lot of episodes there already. We got this idea from, we did a live session in Nashville, and one of the gentlemen that drove there, he drove from Kansas, I think it was, all the way to Nashville. And he said that he actually, in his semi, he was a semi truck driver, and he had like a DVD player or something, and he would play the DVDs and sort of like listen mostly. And he could absorb a lot of stuff because obviously he's driving a semi truck. But anyway, he was listening to this stuff, and I was like, wow, you mean you could just listen to basically these instructional videos and get a lot of stuff from it? And he said, yeah, that's awesome. So we came up with the idea of just doing a podcast. It's called the Steve Stein Guitar Podcast. And if you'd like to subscribe to that, hopefully there's some enjoyable and some useful things there for you. We have three different YouTube channels. There is the Guitar Zoom channel, there's the Steve Stein channel, and then there's the Guitar Zoom songs channel. And finally, guitarzoom.com has all of Steve's premium guitar courses there, as well as memberships and pretty much something there for everybody. But if you're interested in blues guitar, this is the course to get. It's called Blues Guitar by Steve Stein, available at guitarzoom.com. What else, man? What else do you want to talk about today?
I think that's good for today.
I think it's pretty awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Steve. Guys, make sure you subscribe and hit the notify button if you want to get notified of the next blues guitar workshop that we're going to do for you. And until next time, we will see you. Keep playing, keep having fun, stay positive, all that stuff.
Take care, everybody, and talk to you soon. See you, Dan.
All right, Steve. Thanks, man. See y'all.
Next time on the Steve Stein Guitar Podcast.
So teach us, my friend, how to play a 12-bar blues.
Yeah. Again, rhythm is so important, and it's easy to get lost in all this stuff. So I thought instead of trying to throw all of it into one discussion, let's break this apart a little bit so it all kind of makes sense. So basically, you in terms of blues, and really in any style of music, you really have the world of happy major, and then you have the world of dark, depressing, sad minor, right? And blues can be done in a, again, from a rhythmic sense. We're not talking about soloing now. We're talking about creating rhythm. So blues can be done in a more happier context, or it can be done in a bit darker context. So today what we want to do is we want to focus on learning the 12-bar blues with major chords, okay? Which is how you more often than not would probably hear blues anyway. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to pick a key. I'm just going to go to the key of A, which is the fifth fret, right? And I'm going to make a power chord. We're going to start with power chords, and then we'll build out from there. So if you knew nothing about the notes on your guitar, and you knew nothing about theory at all, nothing, okay? You could play 12-bar blues by simply using power chords, using three different power chords. Hey, Steve Stein here from GuitarZoom.com, and thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, can I ask you a favor? Please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Your feedback means more to me than you'll ever know. And be sure to check out my YouTube channels where you'll find over 1,000 videos to help you with your guitar playing. Thanks again for listening. Stay positive, keep playing, and keep having fun.
If you'd like some help with your guitar playing but you're not sure how to get started, go to GuitarZoom.com and look for the Help Me Choose survey. By answering a few simple questions, you'll get Steve's personal recommendation of the perfect course for you. All this and more is available for you at GuitarZoom.com.